Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Surely come to pass.
Amen.
is the time, and this is the day. And by my spirit, I'm making the way. And by my spirit, you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. For I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Hey guys, I hope you're doing awesome. So I'm coming to you today with a message that I really, really feel is important. And so I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? So Lord God, I pray that you would give me your words, and that I would speak your heart, and that people would, anyone who hears, would feel you drawing their hearts to you, and that you would just wrap your arms around them and show them how much you love them. Amen. So, you guys, if anyone who has listened to me before, you know that I never ask anyone to share a video. I never ask for subscribes or likes or anything like that, because I don't care. I really don't. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm only doing this because I want to obey what the Lord is telling me to do. So, but this particular one, I do want to ask you to share, simply because it's a warning that the Lord gave me, and I believe he wants it to be shared with people who don't believe and who are far from him. And so whether they listen or not, it's a warning for them so that they know. So when these things happen, they'll understand what's going on, and for anyone who can possibly be saved before this event happens, it will be so, so amazing. And so, I want to read Ezekiel 3:17-22. This is kind of the theme of why I even have a YouTube channel in the first place, and why I share things that the Lord tells me. So I want to read that real quick. It says, "Son of man, I have appointed you watchmen to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or do not speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself." And it says the same thing for the righteous person, the person who follows the Lord. And will continue to sin after that. And he's saying to warn people not to sin. And it goes on in verse 21. "However, if you have warned the righteous man, and the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he surely shall live, because he took warning that you have delivered yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you." So, the Lord speaks to people, and he has for many, many, many years. And he did in the books of the Bible that we read, and the Lord still speaks. A lot of people don't believe that, but he does. And the Bible says that in the last days, he will pour out his Spirit on everybody and on so many people, and there will be people prophesying, dreaming dreams, having visions, and that is truly the case. And for me, it's been the past year and a half, I think, since October of 2019, I started feeling the Lord speaking to me all the time. I started getting dreams and visions like crazy. So I didn't know what to do with it. So I just felt the Lord wanting me to start a YouTube channel and to share these things. and to share these things to warn people about what's coming and to get as many people as possible to say, Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to follow you with all of my heart. And that's just what he's after. That's what he wants from us. So the theme of what I'm about to share is Genesis 6:3, and God said, I will not strive with man forever. So a long time ago, when Adam first sinned, God said his spirit would not strive with man forever. So that means that there is an end to what he's willing to put up with. We don't know how long he is willing to put up with us. And so to live your life as if none of it really matters, you can do what you want, you can be how you want to be, you can act how you want to act, it is a dangerous thing, because one day we will all meet our Creator and we will answer to him for everything we did and every word that came out of our mouth. And anything that does not please him, he will hold against us unless we are forgiven by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I accept the sacrifice of your Son. So, I'm going to read this message that God gave me yesterday. And what it's like to have God speaking to you is really, truly amazing. A lot of people haven't experienced this, so they don't know what it's like. But for me, personally, it's like somebody pours a warm cup of water on my head, my whole body from head to toe. I just feel warmth and feel his amazing presence, and I get goosebumps, and I just know that he's speaking to me. And it's not as mysterious as people think. Like, our Creator wants to communicate with us, and he does. And he does through this Bible. And he does on a personal level, too, if we listen and tune into that. But he doesn't speak to everybody in this exact way. So a lot of us, he might speak to us in different ways. But this is what I received from him. And a lot of people don't believe in this kind of thing, but it's real. And I know that these are the Lord's words, okay? So I'm going to share these with you. It says, do not speak out, for these people have rejected me again and again and again. Now, when he said do not speak out, I don't think that meant he didn't want me to share this, because I know he wants me to share this with you. But it was when I was actually at Walmart, and I asked him, should I share the gospel with anybody today? Is there anybody you want me to talk to about Jesus? And this was his answer. And guys, it's scary, because God's patience is so, so amazing, but it has a limit, okay? So, I'm going to keep reading these words that the Lord gave me. It says, do not speak out, for these people have rejected me again and again and again. Will I shower them with rain day after day as they curse the rain that I give? I have sent so many to them proclaiming my gospel and sharing my love, and they refuse to listen over and over and over again and again. But now, says the Lord, it is my turn to reject them. I'm going to try not to cry as I get through this, because these are heavy, heavy words. And as I feel the Lord speaking to me, I feel his heart. So I might cry a little bit. Okay. But now, says the Lord, it is my turn to reject them. Then they will know how it feels to be rejected, and they will have great sorrow in their hearts. And some will return to me, and some will still hold to the evil that they love. And they will get a full cup of the evil that they crave. It will be poured back upon their heads. Everything that they have done with their own hands will be poured back upon them. And they will wail. But there will be none to save them. Oh, that they would cry out to the Lord. That they would cry out to his name. That they would call on his name. And he would fly in and save them and hold him. But they will not. They refuse to cry out to the only name that can save them, to the name above every name. My son is weary. He strives with them day after day after day, and they do not hear his voice. They do not listen to him. But behold, now I will utter my voice in the heavens, and it will shake with great thunder of my wrath and my anger, and my voice will sound throughout the heavens, and all will shake. And when my voice goes out, who can stand? My Son has done his job. His work is complete. I will let him rest while my anger is kindled against the ones who have rejected him time and time again. I gave them the sweetest gift they could ever receive, but they scoff and mock and do not believe. The greatest gift of all the universe, the highest honor, was given to them, to know my Son, my beloved Son, and they still reject him. Should I keep striving with them forever? Should I keep sending those to proclaim to them the message which they reject? I will not. My purpose is set before me, and my actions are clear. It is time for the wrath, which I have kept inside my chest for a long time. I have withheld it from an evil people. I have kept this burning fire in my chest. I have held it back to give them grace, to give them time. But the time has come for me to release this burning in my chest. I do not want to hold it in anymore. The anger in me burns. Their chances run out. They have run out. My patience has come to an end. There is no greater way to hurt me than to reject my Son and to call him evil or to not believe in his name. This is the deepest hurt and pain they could do to me, my beloved one, the greatest gift I could ever give them. He did just as I said, and he offered himself up for them. But they turned aside to their meaningless lives, and they have used his name as a curse. And how can I bear hearing it anymore? My ears burn with the sounds of the words that come out of their mouths. The cursing of my Son's name day after day, how can I bear hearing it? How can I bear hearing the highest name in all the universe profaned day after day? I will not bear it. I will come against them suddenly, and they will not see it coming. Guys, that's not a fun word to share, but God is going to do something that's bigger than he's ever done before, and people laugh about it, they mock, they don't believe it, they roll their eyes, they're like, oh, you Christians have been saying for thousands of years that Jesus is coming back, you've been saying this stuff, and guess what, we're still here after all this time. Well, every word that he spoke, he will do, and it's coming very soon, and the people that really truly know their Bibles and know all the things that Jesus told us to look for the signs of his soon coming, they're all here. They're all here right now. And so we know that it's any time. And it's something the Bible calls the great and terrible day of the Lord. I'll share a couple more things with you. There will be a day when something really, really scary will come on the earth, and I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know that it will be terrifying for everybody except the people that have the Spirit of the Lord already in them and already know God and already have accepted Jesus. We will have perfect peace while everyone around us is freaking out and running around in terror, totally losing it. We will be like, we'll be fine. And you'll come up to us and be like, what, you know, how are you not scared? What is going on? Like, I want what you have. And we won't be able to give it to you. You have to get it for yourselves. And you have to already have it when that happens. Because by that time, it will be too late. So now is the chance. Now. Now is the time. Come to the Lord. If you haven't already, if you're watching this and you have already, that's awesome. I'm so happy, and I will see you in heaven, and we will party and have a blast together. For the people that have not accepted and believed in Jesus and truly following him and loving him, please do that today. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, I accept what you've done for me, and I believe in you. And I'm so sorry for all the times I've disappointed you, for all the times in my life I have fallen short of what you wanted for me. And I thank you so much for giving me another chance. Because, guys, every single day, every moment that you're here is another chance. He gives so many chances. God is so merciful. He's so loving. He's so patient. But there will be a moment in history when he will stop giving us chances. And that moment is coming so soon, and I don't want anybody, not a single person, to have to suffer the wrath that is coming on the world. But a lot of people will suffer it. And even then, even in that time, God is so merciful. Even in those years, there will be chances every day to repent and come to God and believe in Jesus. So, I'm going to pray again, and I'm just asking you to consider my words and know that the time is really short. And if you don't believe it, you will see it with your own eyes soon. And then you'll know. Even if you don't believe it now, then when those things come on the world, when you hear the loudest trumpet blast type sound you've ever heard, and it shakes you to your core, and it rattles all around you, and the whole world hears it, something is happening. The world maybe goes dark. Some crazy stuff starts happening. We don't know all of what that's going to look like. We know the Bible says a lot about it, and you can look into it for yourself some more. But it's going to be a lot of bad things coming on the world. And God's chosen people, the people that have already believed in him and have given their lives to him completely and have totally surrendered themselves to him, they will be spared. They will be taken out of the way when his wrath comes. So I want you to be one of those people. I want every single person that hears this to be one of those people. So I'm going to pray. Lord God, Father of all the universe, Creator, Lord, we love you. And I ask that anyone who hears this message, that they will feel you calling their heart. And that they will surrender to you today and believe in you and follow you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for your love. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's hour. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me know. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. I hope everyone can hear me fine tonight. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Shalom, Brother Miguel, Brother Edwin, Sister Consuelo, the Lord Yahweh, Brother Strada. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, mighty God. Amen. So, hallelujah. Now that everyone can hear me, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a week has been. A week of testing, a week of trial, and so much more. But we are victorious in the Lord. We are victorious. Victory is in our sight, my brother and sister. Every time God allows us to go through something, it's because he has, pray to God, has something greater for each and one of us. And now I understand what the disciples, as they went to the trial in the book of Acts, they worship God and they thank God for the Lord, because we all have to go through it, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This week has been wonderful. The Lord came to me this week, gave me a mighty revelation, which I'm going to share. This is the revelation tonight is one of the most powerful revelation I have received on the Lord's hour. Besides, hallelujah, many others that I have received, this one is very powerful. Some of you probably never heard it before ever, and so it will be a blessing to hear what is it that the Lord revealed to me tonight. But let me tell you what he showed me yesterday. Hallelujah. Went home in the rapture. We arrived at heaven, and we arrived all together, my brothers and sisters from the Lord's hour, at heaven. We were in heaven. And in this part of heaven, this heaven that we were, I noticed the tables. I noticed that it was like a kitchen setting, but it was not. It was kind of like a waiting room, and we all arrived there together, and we were all in our glorified body in heaven, and so praise you, Jesus. It was exciting. It was exciting to be there. My brother and sister, I tell you, it's exciting. Every time you find yourself in heaven, it's exciting. But we were all there waiting. As we were waiting there, I know I was looking at the table, the wooden table that they had. I started looking at them, and I started comparing them to the one we had on earth. And the one that we have on earth is put together pieces by pieces. Those look beautifully. And I'm trying to figure out how do they make these tables that are so like perfect, my brother and sister. And of course, redeemed angel made it with the wisdom of God. Now, as we were all there together, waiting to get ready for the wedding, to go in for the wedding, in the part where we all sitting, some of us were standing, we began to ask for our dog, our pet. My brother and sister, and some of you say, "Where's my cat? Like, where's my dog? Where's my bird? I love my animal. How come he didn't come up with us in the rapture?" Okay, and I even say, "Where's my dog? Where's my dog?" And so one of the redeemed came. He looked like an angel, but he was a redeemed, and he raised his two hands and said, "Calm down, everyone. Calm down. You're not in the place of fear." This is not a place of fear. You are not in a place of fear anymore. This is not a place of fear. Calm down. Calm down. You will see your animal. You will see your pet. I can hear everyone who had pet who was there saying, where's my pet? Where's my dog? Where is? And he said, you will see your animal. Okay? It will be brought to you now. And so as we were all there, they began to bring our animal to us. And we have a dog called Thunder, my brother and sister. And we love him very much. And I saw Thunder when they brought him, my dog. And he had grown. He's a year old now, a lot. And my two, almost three-year-old, like to touch him through the fence where we have him in the kennel. But he's too strong to let him loose and play with her now. And we love him very much. And I saw him there, and I said, Thunder, Thunder. And my kid also was asking for him and calling him, my daughter and my two boys. And he came running to us. But I noticed now that he was gentle with her in heaven. Like, whatever, if your animal is too strong with your kid, or, you know, too aggressive, not anymore in heaven. He was very gentle. He came running. He was moving his tail. We knew it was him. We were so happy to see our dog Thunder, my brother and sister. So the rapture of the bride of Christ is even today. And the Lord Jesus is excited for this. Okay? I seen the Lord twice this week, my brother and sister. And so that's why I'm thinking, where am I going to begin? Okay? Where am I going to begin? Okay, praise your Lord. And so now, into the revelation that I said it was very powerful and that I wanted to share with each and one of you. And this revelation comes with a warning. to everyone, okay? And so before I go into the revelation, I want to read a few verses, my brother and sister, a few verses, and we can do some worship right after I share what I need to share, because these things are very, very important to the Lord, and this message needs to go out. When the Lord given me this message, the enemy and his army are trying to stop this message from going out, because he knows how powerful it is. He doesn't want it out there, but it's going to save lives. I tell you that right now. The message is going to save lives. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Let's do hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 78:50. Remember that the coronavirus is a pestilence. Psalm 78:50 said, he made a path to his anger. He spared not their soul from death. Listen, please listen carefully. He made a path to his anger. He spared not their soul from death. Remember that death is an angel. The angel of death, the Bible says. He spared not their soul from death. Gave their life over to the pestilence. My brother and sister, this cannot be so clear. This verse here, posted in the chat room, talks about the angel of death and talks about the pestilence that we have currently today. The coronavirus pestilence, my brother and sister, this is incredible. How everything is in the Word of God, my brother and sister. Here is the revelation to me. My brother and sister, I believe it was 2 to 3 days after the Pope Francis took the coronavirus vaccine. And Jesus takes me out of my body and he takes me back in time. Back in time when they were administering to him the coronavirus vaccine. I'm standing with the Lord Jesus 25 feet at least away from where the Pope was being vaccinated, my brother and sister. And I noticed that as he was being vaccinated, right there next to him, the people could not see him, was the angel of death standing next to the Pope. Across from the angel of death, like 10 to 15 feet away, where principality, where all the demons, fallen principality, governors and things, they were a servant dead in action. And the angel of death had his hand over the Pope. As they administered the coronavirus vaccine to the Pope, Jesus was standing next to me, talking to me. And Jesus says to me, that they said for my children, they are falling into it, right? They are falling into the trap. They said for my children, Jesus says to me. He's explaining things to me. Because I have prayed before the Lord Tower for Jesus, as he is our rabbi, my rabbi, to us that we don't understand, we don't know, unless he reveals to us. I've been asking in prayer before, and I ask him to please explain this to me. Show me what happened when someone gets the coronavirus vaccine and body. Because we have seen many people who have taken it and died. And there's a video of someone that they put on YouTube that got taken down when this man took the coronavirus vaccine. And immediately he started kicking and punching and saying, don't take it. This is a lie. They have lied to us. And they deleted the video, and he got thrown in jail, is what they said afterward. So I wanted the Lord to reveal to me what happened to people who decide to take the coronavirus vaccine. Show me what kind of effect the person will have on their life. He tells to the other demon, stay back and let's wait until the vaccine takes effect into his body. Once death, the angel of death, saw that the coronavirus vaccine had taken effect into the Pope's body, had his hand over the Pope, not touching him, okay, but enough to remove his soul from his body. I am watching all this while standing there with Jesus, my brother and sister. And I saw when they removed the soul from the body was still standing. And they ordered two demons to come and hold the soul of the Pope and take it away, my brother and sister. Then I saw when they ordered an evil angel, and say angel, fallen demon, fallen evil. I saw when they ordered this fallen demon really bad to the Pope body who was still standing there as they mentioned by seeing to him. And I saw when this demon went into his body and took the form of the Pope inside the body, now to have total control of his body. Hallelujah. I apologize. I might lower a little bit. Thank you for letting me know. This is important. This I tell you, this is one of the most powerful revelations I have received for a while. My brother and sister. So when they told these demons, take his soul, ordered them to take the soul away. And I saw when the demon, one got the soul of the Pope, one by the right hand and one by the left. Remember that the soul is who we are. Your soul in his body, my brother and sister. But the coronavirus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. If I'm cutting off, if it's cut enough, please let me know. This message is so important that it needs to go out. It just needs to go out. And they have thrown everything they have against me this week. It's been a week, I tell you, hallelujah. A tremendous, you can't even imagine what kind of week I had. My brother and sister, I'm staying in a hotel. I could not even be at the house with my family.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Pillar 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with what Brother Dan called a humdinger prophecy. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. Let's see. I'll start at verse 8. Okay, now this is starting with the seals. I know this seal is open already. I have prophecy on it. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Okay, that's as far as I'm going. I know that seal is opened already. Now, this actually is a vision and a prophecy. I got the prophecy today. I got the vision yesterday. I'm just going to read what I wrote in here. So I got this prophecy yesterday morning, and it didn't go with anything, so I just prayed about it. I'm like, what's with that vision that I saw? Until I got something, and today I got the prophecy that went with it, which is the humdinger. Okay, so here's me typing on Facebook this morning. This prophecy goes with the vision I got yesterday morning at 4 a.m. in prayer. I was showing people all over the land. They were dead, and mingled with them were dead animals. Dogs and horses are what I noticed first. And the other disturbing thing was that the people were dead, and I could see their eyes were open, like looking at me. It was horrible. And as I was seeing that vision, I heard this, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Okay, so let's go to the prophecy. So again, as I heard the vision and I looked at everything, I heard the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I have several prophecy messages out there concerning the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I think myself and Brother Dan both have prophecy on the four horsemen. Okay, so here we go. This is the prophecy that goes with that vision. So I got this morning. Many remain obstinate. You see the angel of death hovering over the nations, plague and pestilence rampant throughout your major cities. I have given you time to hear my voice, learn of my ways and get to know me. You did not use this time wisely. I see you chasing after men for answers. I see civil unrest. I see violence in the streets. You have refused to heed my warnings of calamity and destruction. I see evil men rising to power behind the scenes. Worldwide famine looms in the distance. Famine, death, and war. The rise of Antichrist. I want you to see with your spiritual eyes and discern the times. Stay on the narrow path. Now you need to seek me. I am. More than any time in the history of mankind, I am calling you to me before the beast executes his extermination plan. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Repent and live. Can you imagine this? No wonder I was taking a beating for how many days here. I was like tortured to death. Every day it was something new. Every time I turned around, there was another battle at my door. Everything went wrong. Nothing went right. Same thing with Brother Dan. I was thinking to myself, I must be getting a real humdinger prophecy after every single day of torture that I went through. Let's look at this again. I am calling you to me before the beast executes his extermination plan. Look out. How about that? Okay, what did he talk about here? The angel of death hovering over the nations, plague and pestilence rampant throughout your major cities. Okay, I get a lot of comments, flack, in there about we're not going to see these things. Well, guess what? We are. We're seeing them now. We're seeing the pestilence. We're seeing the death all over the world. And the best part is, before the worst things come, it says he is going to, is he removing this? How did he put it? I am calling you to me. Yes. And the other disturbing thing is he said, pretty much while this pandemic is going on and we can't go anywhere and pretty much we're supposed to be away from everything, we're supposed to be seeking after him and learning about him. Do you know him? I have how many prophecies saying the same thing? Have you done that? He says, no. He says, you didn't use your time wisely. Did you get a Bible? Did you read it? Did you start reading it? You could do audio, do something. Don't sit there, like I said before, and be a victim. You need to have a plan. I have a plan. My family has a plan. We all know the same plan. You need to do the same thing. Don't be sitting here running around when bad things start happening. You can see, just put, subscription to a handful, I'm going to say, of other YouTube channels that I usually drop in and see what's going on. Paul Begley is one of them. I usually drop in and see what's going on there. And then there's a TV channel that I like, too, that I drop in and see what's going on his videos. You need to have a plan. You should be knowing him by now. He says that. You should be seeking after him. We know his voice. You should know his voice. He's calling you. He's calling every one of us. That's how it happens. One by one, he calls his people to him. He wants you to respond. He wants you to know him. He wants you to spend time with him. How can you have a personal relationship with Jesus if you don't know his book, if you don't know his words, if you don't know what's true and what's false? You need to do this. I'm not just sitting here going on and on about it for, 1,200 videos for 10 years just to spend my breath or because I like putting videos up? No, I don't. Look, why would I want to put videos up? Look at the condition I'm in. He allowed me to continue until my job is done, and that's what I'm going to do. You need to do the same thing. You need to be diligent. You need to find out, get a Bible, read it front to back, know what's going on so you're not going to be deceived. I have how many videos out there saying about the great deception. They will believe the delusion. Do you want to be in that group of people? Do you want to be in the group of people that are left behind to see what's going to happen with the extermination? And then when I heard that about men behind the scenes, I was shown somebody's face. I'm not going to say it on this prophecy. I might get something else, another prophecy on it. I was shown the evil man. I saw his face. I know who it is. You need to get yourself in order. Get your house in order. Have a plan. Don't be a victim, especially now. In my messenger box, every single day, I'm getting swamped and swarmed with all sorts of news articles. Then I go ahead and try to research and find out if they're true or not, and I can't find anything to confirm it anywhere. So I'm tired of putting videos up there or posts up there, and even from Facebook, and then I get a notice, this is false news. Well, it was in the Facebook news feed. And then, so now I'm going through everything. I'm probably not going to be sharing any articles or posts or anything on my Facebook pages anymore. just for that reason. I sent Facebook a message yesterday telling me, how about this? Based on an independent fact checker, how about this? Something I had archived. I thought archived means no one can see it. It was false news. What are they doing? Think. Going through archived things on your channel? Archive means only you see it or only it's there for you. No one else is seeing it. So how can I be charged with false news in the archived post? Think. This isn't good. I said that the other day, and I even said this is even worse than not good. If you see everything that's going on. This tells us straight up there's going to be famine. There's going to be more pestilence. You see all these further strains of coronavirus that are all over again, springing up everywhere. Have a plan. Make sure you have food and supplies, extra things on hand. I did put a post up there on a notice on my Facebook or YouTube channel saying, please make sure you're prepared, you have supplies on hand and everything. Now, I can't answer every question. People said, why? Well, you need to listen to the videos. That's why. Look at the playlist. There's about, 10 playlists out there probably talking about war coming, talking about destruction of Babylon. You need to look at them, review them, and find out what's going on if you're lost. You can't be lost now. That's my point. You need to know what's going on and get with it. Don't sit there like a victim when there's no food in the store. That happened before. How many of you were victims then? As I was saying all along, make sure you have supplies. Get what you need. You're going to come to the point that you're going to go to the store. They won't have anything, and it's coming, especially what I'm seeing now on the news as far as famine and things going on. You need to have a plan. Please do it. All right, better go. I'm not going to upload here. Was there anything else I want to mention? Just want to thank everyone for the encouraging comments under the videos. Thank you, everyone, for the translations in the other languages. Thank you, everyone, that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. Thank you, everyone, that sends me clothes because it's too hard for me to shop with one hand. Thank you, everyone. What else did I want to mention? Books and brochures and all sorts of things we get in the mail. Thank you so much for everything. We really appreciate everything you do. We love you guys. What else? The Facebook channels. Now, since I got charged with fake news in my archived post. I'm very leery on posting anything on the Facebook pages. So we have three of them. One is my personal one. Then we have Godzilla7 Facebook channel, Godzilla7 End Time Prophecy. We have Sister Barbara Francis, that's me. That's End Time Prophecy again, and The King is Coming, Second Coming of Christ Facebook channel. So please like and follow us there before they're gone. Share the videos around. And then again, same thing, make sure you're still subscribed to the YouTube channel and hit the notification button so that you know what's going on if we have a message. What else did I want to mention? I think that's pretty much it. But please, be prepared and have a plan. You better go. God bless you all and be safe. All right, hopefully I could get up now without flying on my head. All right, I'm making it so far. Come on, keep going.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. All right, I made it. Thank you, God.
Thank
God bless you all.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua, if you can hear me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, let me know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. Hallelujah. Just tell me if it's too low, and I'll put up the volume even more. But I don't want it to be cutting off neither. It needs to be sounding normal. I will get back to my house. I'm not in my house now. I'm away from the house. So when I get back home, we'll make this more clear now. Praise the Lord. But I'm not in the house now. And I wanted to bring the revelation just for people to hear and pray about it. Take it into prayer with the Lord for sure. Take it into prayer. Amen. Thank you very much. Take it into prayer with the Lord. Make sure you hear from God about this. My brother and sister, we are in the last day. It's so, so important. We hear what God has to say. And we everything. And he is showing us a lot, my brother and sister. Like I said before, I saw when they were planning, my brother and sister, to praise the Lord Thank you, Jesus. Let me show. Okay. And so I saw Dad waiting for the coronavirus vaccine to take effect on the Pope's body. And then as it was taking effect, I saw when Dad raised her hand and removed the soul from the body in order to demon to come and get a hold of the soul. And they began to walk away with the soul as they were holding it. And I saw when the Pope saw, looked back to the body who was still standing alive, trying to go back to the body. But the demon said, no, you are coming with us. Let's go. Okay? Just find out that he's been deceived, my brother and sister. And I saw when they ordered a horrible, horrible demon, really horrible principality, to take hold of the Pope's body, to go in it, and now be the Pope, my brother and sister. And Jesus was standing next to me and said, the trap that they set for my children, now they're falling into it themselves, my brother and sister. And as all this is happening, I'm watching this whole thing, seeing the principality. I'm seeing the able. I'm seeing Ephesians 6:10 and on, that the Bible describes, my brother and sister. And there are verses in the Bible, in our Bible, in our King James, hallelujah. In Job says, Job 28:22, destruction and death say, we heard of the fame thereof, word of ears. And then Job 38:17. Have the gate of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the door of the shadow of death? Okay. Now, Psalm 102:20, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose the that are appointed to death. Okay. The apostle says to the church in 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall pull uncorruptible, this mortal shall have put on mortality, that should be brought to pass, saying that is written, there is, okay? Then 1 Corinthians 15:55, all day, where is thy sting? All great, where is thy victory? My brother and sister, I pray and waited on the Lord for weeks to show me the effect of the coronavirus vaccine on people's life. And when Jesus showed me this and showed me what was going on as this vaccine was put into the Pope's body, taking me back in time and seeing damage to the body, telling the demon, wait until the vaccine takes effect into the body. My brother, they waited a few seconds until the vaccine take effect as it was injected in the body. After it was injected, Dad told the demon, wait. And all these demon principalities were standing there waiting until the vaccine would take effect. And I saw Dad raising the hand and moving the soul, praying the demon to get a hold of the soul and take it away, my brother and sister. I had, because they could not see the Lord and I. They could not see us. But when I said, this is an abomination, I said, they hurt me. And Dad told the demon, you heard him, you heard. They could not see us, but they heard my voice when I said, this is an abomination, I said, what they were doing, my brother and sister. Because I reacted to what they were doing. Because I saw the soul for wanting to come back to the body. But there was a demon on the left and the right holding the soul, taking the soul away, and he was trying to loosen himself from them, but he could not because they were too strong, and they were taking his soul to hell, my brother and sister. And I saw when they ordered the demon to go into the body and now to be the new Pope, and then he was reading the card, whatever he was on television, but we didn't see the vaccination that went behind closed door that was showing to me what happened when they take this vaccine. This vaccine is deadly. It's dead, most powerful weapon in the end time. Dead, the Bible says, my brother and sister, it is the last enemy that God is going to destroy in Revelation 20. That is the last enemy. I didn't know that they were so active, my brother and sister, even ordering demons around. This demon out there is active. And that's why when people get vaccinated, that's why you don't see them dying physically right away, because whatever is in the vaccine keeps the body alive, my brother and sister. Whatever is in the vaccine keeps the body alive. Okay? And then, my brother and sister, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yes, it's in the Bible. I'm reading you a verse right now, Psalm 78:50. Please look it up in other Bible translation. If you don't understand your Bible, please pray. Everything in this life is in the Word of God. Don't say that it's not, because it is. Psalm 78:50. He made a path of his anger. This is God. God made a path of his anger. He spared now their soul from death. Their soul, the soul that was being taken away from this body, the Pope, their soul from death, but gave the lie over the pestilence. It's clear. I mean, again, let me post it in the chat room. It is so clear, and if you don't understand, you need to pray. You need to everything in this life. Jesus said to me, it's in his word, and yes, it is. Everything is in the word. If you don't understand the word, like Sister Barbara said, pray, fast, ask God to reveal it to you, okay, to reveal it to you. But again, Jesus overcame death, okay? You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be scared if you're repenting and seeking the Lord every day. God is revealing this to us, so we will pray, we will repent, we will seek his son every day. Salvation comes from Jesus, through Jesus, through our life. We need to repent. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to be repenting now, not putting it off for not putting our salvation off for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. We need to be ready today. Here's the other wonderful dream that I showed this week. He showed me it was about 2 to 3 in the afternoon. I had finished my prayer time with him. I had prayed like an hour and a half to an hour to 40 minutes. And so I was resting my body, because sometimes when you rest in one position, your body hurts, especially for hours. Your body hurts. And so I said to my wife, I'm going to lay down. All of a sudden, I felt sleep coming over me. It was strange. In the afternoon, when I like to go do other stuff, I felt sleep coming over me. So I said, let me rest for a minute. And I fell asleep. And immediately the Lord opened my eyes. But I was falling asleep at the presence of the Lord. Like the cloud of anointing was all over me from the top of the head to the bottom of my feet. My brother and sister. And I can feel his anointing, and I'm talking to the Lord as I'm going to sleep, and the Lord was talking to me. And I started walking into heaven, and I can see Jesus beautifully full of glory. The glory was all over him. But I never see him so joyful like I'm seeing him now. He's walking, but I can hear the wedding bells also. Opening my eyes, going into the revelation, I can hear the wedding bells, my brother and sister, as he's walking toward getting married. And I see his face, which I love to see. I can see it for eternity because I love to see his face. Full of joy, my brother and sister, just full of joy. And he turned to look, and we've been talking, my wife and I, looking at video about what's going to happen with the election, what's going to happen with this nation, what's going to happen with this country. And we were talking about this for a few minutes. And he says to me, I have a plan. He says to me, I have a plan, he says. My brother and sisters, which I'm still wondering, is the plan about the election, but I believe mostly about us, because he showed me the wedding celebration. And you know that when someone And I was thinking about this and about this revelation that he's heading to the wedding, but the bride always arrived last. Not the bridegroom. The bride always, my brother and sister, okay, it just arrived last. Okay, and I'm thinking, wow, okay. He's heading, hallelujah, he's heading to the place of getting married, okay? And I'm like, wow. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord. But he looks so, hallelujah, hallelujah. My brother and sister, so full of joy, so full of glory. And he's walking to get him married like it's happening now. It's happening now. And I'm like, wow, this is so awesome. This is exactly what we need to be focused on. Jesus is focused on his wedding. What are you focused on? Okay? What are you focused on? What is your focus? Okay? Hallelujah. To be focused on Jesus. We need to focus on the wedding, my brother and sister. We need to be focused on going home. A lot of time we worry too much for this, for that, my brother and sister. We are praying for things that God promised us. And I believe just like more Lord has said, not on the things that we need, pray one, or my people pray for the things they want more than for the things they need. It is the truth, my brother and sister. We need to be focusing on Jesus. In hallelujah. We got to be first than anything else. Repenting has to be first. Repenting is changing your mind in regard to sinful life, to sin. Not wanting to sin no more. Wanting to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Will be done and not our will, my brother insisted. That's what repenting is in reality. Okay, and I apologize, hallelujah. But that thing is, I apologize for my children, a little noise, until I can, hallelujah, you know, that I'm getting ready. Right. Repenting, my brother insisted. We, the bride, need to be repenting. We, the bride, need to be repenting. We, the bride, need to be getting ready. But we need to be doing it now. Today, we need to be getting ready. And so, good. So important that we do. So important we don't put it off. So important. That's why I play. For Sister Barbara, because it's confirmed about what to put her on. How do you, my brother and sister, where I'm staying, I cannot do this from what I'm doing it from my laptop. My brother and sister, she will have my okay. Brother and sister. Yes. That's what I'm explaining, that I'm doing the program for my laptop in the hotel, and it's going to be cutting. So I will have to get back to my house next Tuesday, to do it with a better internet service. The internet service where I am right now, very poor, very slow, and providing the audio quality that I'm saying. We will have to. I will have to play just to get some better audio that I'm doing live. but I really needed to get them out today. The revelation out, because people need to hear the consequence over people's life when they take the coronavirus vaccine, which a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't understand why God doesn't want them to take the vaccine. My brother and sister, they want to take it, okay? But they are not asking God. They're not praying. They're not seeking God, my brother and sister, okay? They're not seeking God as they should. God wants us to trust him, hallelujah, to seek him, that we should be doing his will. We should be seeking his plan for our life, not what we want, but his will be done. And so a lot of people, a lot of Christians get offended and say, well, I'm not going to listen to Elvie because I don't do nothing wrong with the vaccine. They want to take it. And when someone comes and says, don't take it, they get offended because they want it. They want to take it, my brother and sister. Okay? And it's deadly. It's a deadly vaccine. Deadly vaccine that God doesn't want them to take. Father doesn't want them to take, my brother and sister. Okay? He doesn't want them to take the vaccine. He knows. He knows. Hallelujah. He knows what is best for us. Okay? He knows what is best for us. Okay? And they may give us any excuse, but there's none. There's no excuse. Because if you're not seeking the world, you're doing your own thing. You're not seeking his will. And God wants you to seek his will. Twice I tried to upload this audio to get it on. It has not been possible. My brother and sister, I'm going to have to play another audio. And then...
Blog Talk Radio.
I just tried to get the audio up, and it has not been possible for me to play the audio. Somehow, it keeps doing the same thing, my brother and sister. And so I apologize. Hallelujah. I truly apologize because I really needed to get this message up. I knew it would bless people's life. My brother and sister, let me try to do it one more time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's so sad when you try to do something that, hallelujah, it will bless the people. It's not the internet is too slow where I'm staying right now. For some reason it's not doing it as it should. I apologize. We will be able to get it on maybe next week, but it looks like it's not happening tonight. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. God is in control. He knows all and he knows everything. Keep us in your prayer, my brother and sister, for sure. Keep us in your prayer. We'll do our best to bring his word and bring his revelation. Hallelujah. Let the will of God be done and not our own, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. It's not to play with an audio.
Thank you, mighty Jesus. Thank you, mighty Yeshua. Thank you, mighty Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. This is the last Sunday of the month. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sister Erica. And praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are going to share our dream from God. Praise you, Lord. Every last Sunday of the month is what we're going to share here on the Lord Tower. Before I do, though, I have to share a mighty, mighty revelation I received from Father yesterday morning for his church, for his people. And this message I must deliver. This is an important message. Praise the Lord, that must be put out there for the world, for people, for the church, for people to beware, for people to prepare, for people to be seeking God. Thank you, Jesus. Be seeking the Lord, because he is about to come for his bride that have made herself ready, those that are walking with him. Praise you, Lord. The God of Abraham, my brothers and sisters, and the God of Jacob spoken with me. Hallelujah. And the God of Isaac, and share a mighty, mighty revelation, which I must share with God's people tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He loves us so much. He's giving humanity, hallelujah, he's giving humanity of his mercy, my brothers and sisters, in the day to come. Praise to God. I'm going to go into the word, though, before I share the revelation. Revelation 12:1. And there appear a great wonder in heaven. And there appear a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. My brother and sister, says, there appear a great wonder. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that we need to know is in his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24:3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Signs and wonder. God said he will give to us, show to us in the last day. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 89:5, in the heavens to praise thy wonder, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in thy congregation of the same. Daniel 6:27, he deliver and rescue, and he worketh signs and wonder in heaven and the earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. Praise the Lord. Joel 2:30, and I will show wonders in heaven and on the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. And then the confirmation, Acts 2:19, and I will show wonders in heaven, hallelujah, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. Very clear, God has spoken. There appear a great wonder in heaven. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, I went out with my family. We were having dinner. And while we were there sitting to have dinner, Jesus came by my side, opened my spiritual eyes to see him coming there. And I wondered what would the Lord, he didn't speak anything, but he came by my side instead. And I find that I never had an experience like this, especially in the restaurant. And so I wonder, you know, what did the Lord want it? Is what came to my mind. And I had similar experience, but in my house in different places, but not in the restroom. And so, praise the Lord. When I came in prayer to be with the Lord next day, the Lord was with me all night long. Next day, he come, and I'm in prayer with him, and he stand by my side and releases a powerful anointing over my life. Whoa. So he came. He was preparing me for something. But this something is something Father wanted for him to prepare me for. Yesterday morning, after finishing with God in prayer, my brother and sister, praise to God. The Lord, God Almighty, takes me in the spirit, in the dream, and the revelation of God. And when I was standing on the earth, my brother and sister, they were like seraphim. Out of the presence of God, great fire I could see coming on my life. Very familiar with that in heaven, but down here, I wonder. God was speaking. God began to speak. But when God began to speak, there was this sign in the heavens that everyone from the earth could see. People from China, Japan, Canada, Mexico,
all the United States, all the earth, people all over the earth can see this sign. Mighty, mighty, mighty sign. And I thank God because today we're talking about dream. And this dream, so real. It is so, so vivid, my brother and sister. And this dream of God, Father is speaking. I said, that's Father. I can recognize his voice from before in heaven. He says, people of the earth, this is God speaking. He says, and he says, I've given you 90 days, 3 months, God says, for you to begin to repent and read my Bible, my word, get into my word, he says. I want you to start repenting, God is saying to everyone in China, Japan. Everyone can hear God in their own language. I can see in the spirit the voice of Father, Yahweh, Yahweh, the Almighty, Jehovah God, to the whole earth, my brother insisted. He's speaking to all his creation. And every single child, every single adult, every single man, every single woman can hear him clearly. With loud, strong voice. Father, kindred creation. My brother and sister. He says, I'm giving you 90 days to begin to repent and read my word. He says to everyone. Before I take my children homes, those that are walking with me, he says that are walking with him. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. My brother and sister, the Almighty is speaking to men and women, children, adults. Everyone in her can hear God for the first time, and an audible voice, loving and caring God is speaking to them. My brother and sister, no one had any fear as he was speaking to them. But everyone was listening. Everyone was listening. My brother, I was stunned. I could see this and see this. Praise the Lord. 90 days before I take my children home, he says. Hallelujah. And the great tribulation began. Father says, read my word and repent to all humanity. And he laughs. This is the last chance I'm giving you. He says to them, my brother insisted, before I release those evil demons that I have bound, those fallen demons that I have bound for thousands a year, I bound them. I'm going to release them after the 90 days. And they're going to come to kill you and torment you, God says to humanity. My brother and sisters, I'm leaving my sign on the air for these 90 days. Okay? And everyone from the earth, from China, from any part of the world, India, it don't matter, Pakistan, Iran, Syria, Libya, Israel, it don't matter, Turkey, no matter where people were on the earth, Mexico, United States, Canada, it don't matter where people were, Australia, everyone can see the cloud, in the cloud, the sign of Father. The sign, the letter in the cloud were in fire. In fire. Remember the children of Israel coming from Egypt in the wilderness? They had a fire in the nine. Protecting them, my brother and sister, because when the night gets very cold in the desert, temperature can drop 20, 30, 40 below zero. People will die. People have died of this cold temperature. It can be very hot in the day after 140, but in the night it can drop very low and people can die. God had his fire protecting his children as they were coming from Egypt to the promised land. 5+ million people protected by the care of Father, his fire, my brother and sister. Now I can see the sign of the fire. I look, try to look closer, and I saw a 7. So I can see the other letter, the other thing I cannot see, but I saw a 7 in the cloud. For 90 days, humanity now has this sign. John saw, John said, and I saw a great sign in the cloud. As Father was speaking, as I saw the sign, all that I had in my mind clearly, and I could hear the voice, Revelation 12:1. It's all that keeps coming to my mind repeatedly. Revelation 12:1. I saw great sign, great wonder in the cloud, John says. My brother and sister, I didn't know it was this way. I told you that we can only know God's word, as Jesus says to me, when he reveals it to us. Man thinks that they can know my word without my help, Jesus says. That's impossible. I'm the one that revealed my word, Jesus says to me. Praise to Yeshua at one time, in his time. My brother and sister, in his day. He said he's the one that revealed his word. Man thinks they can know my word without my help. Got a lot of people here with a lot of knowledge without the help of Jesus. Misleading people everywhere. He is the Christ. No, there is the Christ. No, it's in Russia. No, it's here. No, it's there. And people running up and down like crazy looking for the Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24, I tell you, here it is, there it is. Do not listen. Do not follow him. Don't go there. Hallelujah. You are in Christ, the truth. Praise you, Lord. We are in that completeness of that seven now. Seven means completeness. Amen. We are in that completeness of that seven. My brother and sister, 90 days God said to humanity. Okay? 90 days he's giving humanity in this dream. My brother and sister, before he takes his children home, he says, those that are walking with him, hallelujah. And then he says, I'll remove my sign, and then the great tribulation begins. It's all very close. It is all very close. I want to bring my guest tonight, Sister Erica. Thank you, Lord. She's online. Shalom, Sister Erica.
Shalom, Brother Elvie. Shalom, brothers and sisters from the Lord's Hour.
Amen. Welcome, sister.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sister Erica, I have audio, two audio, a brother, sisters that email me their dreams, but I would like to thank you, Lord, have you begin sharing your dream with everyone. I know the Lord has given you dreams, and, yes. And they have to be put first, amen, and we want to hear. Can you share some of your dreams?
Yes, sure. I wanted to start with the one I had a dream. I sent an email to Brother Buddy because he was in it, Brother Buddy from Friday night. The Lord has been giving me dreams, so I've been praying for him to help me interpret them because they have so much detail and they can be quite confusing. But the dream that I had was, the highlight of the dream was actually I was in a bus. A big van-like vehicle. There weren't many people on it. I was sitting towards the back right side with my son, my grandson, and my mom. It seemed like we had our own seat. Brother Buddy was the driver, and he was really happy. Sister Brenda, his wife, was sitting behind him. We were on a highway looking down to our right side. There were houses, small businesses. It seemed like there were huge pools of water in front of the buildings. The pools were like huge whirlpools. The water just kept getting higher and higher. And I was taking pictures with my phone. And in my mind, I knew that the ocean was not too far away. We were driving down some streets, and I noticed water rushing, like coming down the street. It was rough waters. It kept getting higher and higher. But we were on the bus, and we were not scared. We were just looking, like, in amazement. We knew that we were protected. And it was time to get off the bus. The water, as we looked, the water just disappeared, like down the street like a big slurp, like it just disappeared. And we just watched it disappear. And then we got off the bus. I'm not sure where we were going, but we were all holding hands. And then someone just stopped walking, started speaking in tongues, and that's when I woke up. But that's just one of the dreams that I had that was recently. I also had two dreams. I believe they were warning dreams to me about two weddings. They're both dreams had to do with weddings that I had to prepare for. And I know that a lot of people were, in my dream, a lot of people were trying to prepare for this wedding, and people were taking buses, planes, boats, and it turned out that a lot of people were not prepared. They all had, in the dream, they all had life, which is weird, but they all had life. And as I was preparing for my dream, for the wedding, I put on the dress, the wedding, my garment, and I noticed that it had stains on it. And when I woke up, I remember feeling that God was telling me that I need to get ready because he's coming back for his bride, for his people, and he wants us without spot or wrinkle. And in my dream, that was a wake-up to me that I needed to start preparing more, getting in the Word, getting to know him, and trying to be the best, you know, in God's eyes, pleasing to him. So that was a couple of my dreams that I had.
Amen. They are awesome. Praise the Lord. And that's the Lord telling us that his coming is so close, and we have to be preparing. We have to be getting ready. That it's just the water. It's like flood, representing flood. He is coming like a flood, and it's for everyone to be ready, get prepared. One of the things God showed me in my dream was that yesterday morning, God allowed me to hear the news on television. The reporter was saying they were interviewing religious people, leader religion people. And the reporter was asking them in a major channel in the United States that, did they hear the voice? And they all say yes. Even the reporter said yes. We heard the voice of God. And it was asking these scientists, was it God? They said, yes, we heard the voice. But we wonder if we believe this is aliens' voice, being from outer space, that have this technology now to speak to humanity. They began to deceive people, my brother and sister. And so God is speaking to us the dreams for us to listen to strange voice. Okay? In John 10, Jesus said that my sheep will hear my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. We need to be careful not to follow the voice of stranger. Okay? Because there's many voices up there. But the voice of God is a Bible voice. And it's totally different than anybody else. Don't be deceived by the voice of these scientists and these people that said aliens are the one that did this with advanced technology. And now we have seen that they can do, that they can speak to humanity this way. They're more advanced than what we thought they were saying now. Deceiving people, misleading people.
The devil is the father of all lies, my brother and sister. We need to be careful. We need to be in union and communion with the Lord in prayer. Every day repenting. Don't let a day pass without you spending time with God 2 and 3 times a day, and more if you have to, if you need to. My brother and sister, spend hours with him in prayer. Dedicate your life to the Lord, because ultimately he dedicated his life for you. He paid an ultimate price for your life. Now in return for your love for him, spend time with him. My brother and sister, God is speaking to us in so many ways. Are we listening to him? It's a question. I don't know if the Lord is coming in 90 days, but in my dream, God says 90 days, it was he's giving humanity. Okay? It might be a message of warning to prepare. I don't know about the 90 days, but if God do this to humanity and show the sign and wonder that John saw in the cloud and gives humanity 90 days, if you hear his voice, listen to him and forget about listening to CNN, watching CNN and all these false channels, television channels. Only listen to the Lord. Only turn off your television and be careful not to be deceived, because there is deceiving message coming out, my brother and sister, from so many ways. Everything down here is against us. But as long as we stay under the shadow of the Almighty, we are protected by God. He will send his angel around us to keep us, my brother and sister. Deliver us from us. Deliver our life. No matter what the devil throws against us, as long as we are under the shadow of the Almighty, we don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. We are protected by God, my brother and sister. This is the time now to repent and to prepare. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Sister Erica.
Yes, I wanted to share some other dreams that I had. I saw, and they're like, they're not really long dreams, but they're like really short, like flash dreams, I think. I saw it looked like destruction, and it looked like it was Disney World. It was like if I was looking down at this disaster area, but the only thing I can see that was recognizable was it was a huge big rock in the shape of like a Mickey Mouse head, and that's all that it was left of that. That was a really quick one. And then I had another dream about an earthquake, and I knew specifically that it was in Peru because that's where my mom is from. And I noticed that there was the streets were cracked, broken. There was people injured everywhere. There was lots of people dead. I remember seeing in my dream like a mass grave of like they were digging up these huge holes to put the bodies in. And I remember that there was no food, and we had to travel, like walk really far to look for food. And another dream, really short dream, I saw it was like a lake of blood, and I heard sacrifice of children. And that was really quick. That probably has to do with the abomination of abortion in the world, in America. Another really short dream that I had was I saw President Trump, and he had, it looked like demons were attacking him. And I remember I wrote it down in a chat one time, and you, Brother LB, told me that, that it was that I need to pray for him. So That was one of the really strong dreams. Like, it was really, like, it was so real. And I also saw, at the same time, I saw, it looked like an alligator demon, a crocodile demon, demon that was trying, that was actually biting off the leg of a woman and hanging her upside down by the leg. It was really graphic. But there's so many of these dreams that I have, and I just believe that the Lord, you know, has, the Lord gives me these dreams. And, you know, it's just like you said, that John 10:27, that's one of the verses that I actually had today. You know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Thank you. I believe that the dream you had with the brother driving you, brother body driving you, I believe that God's showing leadership, that he has set here leadership to guide people to the Lord, to safety. The
yes.
Lord is safety.
Yes.
The Lord is protection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what
yes,
I mean now.
When I first became saved, or I was backslidden for years, and then like a couple of years ago, I started just wanting to go back. I felt like God was calling me, pulling me to him, and I got really hungry and thirsty for him and wanting to listen to, you know, anything I could listen to, read the Bible. And I was getting confused, and I was praying to God. I was like, Lord, you know, I want to know more of you. I want to learn from you. Please send me to someone that I can, a place where I can listen to, you know, who can I listen to? And he led me to the Lord's Hour, and I'm really thankful that he did that, because the Lord's Hour is very special to him, and I have learned so much from everyone at the Lord's Hour.
The Lord is good. Amen. So, Brother Body and Sister Brenda are leaders, and God is using them mightily in the last days, for sure. All glory be unto the Lord. Like Sister Carla is another leader that God is using in the last day. Please keep Sister Carla, mother, in prayer. She's been in the hospital this week, and she's been very ill. But we are praying. We are praying for the will of the Lord, for God to either heal her or whatever the will of God is for her life, my brother and sister. We are praying for her. Keep Sister Renee in prayer also, my brother and sister. Let's keep one another in prayer. For sure, we all need to pray for one another. Very, very important, the last date. Anyone, when you don't see people, just keep them in prayer. We never know the reason why they're not able to be here. So whatever the reason is, the Lord can keep them and protect them and help them in whatever situation they're finding themselves in. And that's why it's so important to be part of the body of Christ, be active, part of the body of Christ, because the Lord blessed us through one another. I am blessed by your prayer, because the Lord, if I need help, he'll give me help. If I need strength, he'll give me strength. Whatever we need, he gives it to us through the prayer of our brothers and sisters. So please keep us in prayer. It is so important that we pray for one another. Amen. So I believe that you said you saw Mickey Mouse, the head of Mickey Mouse. That means idolatry. And Mickey Mouse has been an idol in Florida and Disney for so many years, my brother and sister. I believe it's over 40 years. He's been a strong idol that has misled a lot of children, a lot of family, a lot of people. Okay, so we need to... Amen. The head means also means judgment, suffering, judgment. Amen. And so it's so important. Shalom, Sister Renee. We pray for this nation. We pray for the people around the world, every country, for people to be safe before the Lord comes. The Lord is saving people through our prayer. So we got to keep everyone in prayer, my brother and sister, because when God touches people, it is different than we speaking to them. We can speak the word, and it will not return void for sure. But God takes that and multiplies that, amplifies that, or magnifies that, as some people have said in their life, to help them understand his will, his plan for their lives. And they'll get on their knees and cry out to God for help. And that's what God wants us to do. Go and plant a seed, and God can grow in a day or in an hour. To him, nothing is impossible. But we got to do it by faith, my brother and sister, in the last day. And that's just so important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, so important that whatever people are going through, as long as we're praying for them, God will take care of Sister Renee and her family. Sister Renee lost her father 2 weeks ago, and it's been hard for her and her family. I want to thank everyone who's been praying for my aunt. She's out of the hospital. She's around 80% recovered, but she was dead, medically speaking, for almost 2 weeks. In God, my brother and sister, all those people that pray. There was a sister who heard me talking about my aunt here on the Lord Tower. The Lord had her sister, this sister, praying all night long. The Lord woke her up to pray all night long, all night long. The Lord kept her up praying all night long for her. And I was like, wow, all night long, sister, all night long she was praying for my aunt, my brother and sister. And God brought her back. God brought her back, I tell you, in a mighty, mighty way. She's not 100%, but she's already walking, moving, talking to the people. She is recovering in a supernatural way because she was dead. Only the machine was keeping her breathing. Like the doctor was about to disconnect the machine for her, and they didn't have to because she came back. God is... The prayer of the righteous availeth much. We need to stand on the word and do so. Do so, my brother and sister. When anyone who's sick in your family, father, mother, whoever it is, grandparents, begin to fast and pray for them. Not just pray. Begin to fast. Say, Lord, I am not going to give. I'm going to begin this fasting. I'm not going to stop, Lord, until you let me know to stop. Some people have done this for the family and stop eating, just fasting. And the Lord will do the miracle. Your mighty faith, my brother and sister, your faith mighty cannot be more mightier than the faith of God, who is all faith. But when you show such a faith, hallelujah, I tell you, God will move. I've seen God move. And the people that say, I'm going to pray for my family member who is dying, who is sick. And they began a fasting and prayer. And they stopped going to the mall, going to the park. They just commit at home to the fasting and prayer. And then the word, the Lord never failed. A lot of the testing that people get this way, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. A lot of the faith I've seen in people doing this has seen mighty. I've seen the mighty hand of God at work. A lot of time, God give the person the peace and let the person know, look, I am taking this person with me, okay? And he'll give you the peace for you to say, all right, Lord, you want to take my father home, you want to take my mom home or my grandparents home? Amen. He'll give you the peace. Lord, give me the peace. You can ask for the peace. You can pray for the peace. Because if the Lord wants to take that person home, don't get into a fighting with God and to a wrestle with God, because we wrestle like Jacob, wrestle with the angel. Okay? You can get into that if you want. I met people that wrestle with God. And there's been time in my life that I wrestle with God. But God always wins, because if God wants to take, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And that's a fact. A lot of people that God is taking home now is because he wanted to save them before the rapture. Hallelujah. God spoke a word like this. that he will be taking people home before the rapture earlier. My brother and sister, a lot of his elder, he says, a lot of his servants, he said he will be taking them home before the rapture. The rapture is so close, so he took them home. And that's when we're happy. That, you know, we cry because we miss the person. We want to have them close to us. Hallelujah. And yes, that's the truth, Sister Erica. A lot of Africans, people will not be able to handle what to come. Okay, a lot of people are so sensitive, and it's so hard for them, okay, that we need to say to God, amen, God, you took them home. My father's home. My mom is home now in heaven. All glory be unto you. You know, and you're going to see them again. Because I know Sister Renee is going to see her father again. She's going to see him again. And that's, and when you're going to see him again, you're going to see a young man in the 20 old body. Okay? That's awesome. He's not more of a suffering older person anymore. He's in his 20 now with joy. Next time he talks to you, he's going to speak to you with so much joy. Oh, my God, I love it here. I'm so happy here. Because I'm sure on the earth, although he had his family that he loved, but he will be more happy in heaven. I guarantee you that. He will be more happy in heaven than down here. A lot of times you're afraid to die. A lot of people get afraid to die. But once you die and you enter heaven, you do not want to turn back. No way. No matter how much you miss the people down here, you do not want to go back. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Because you're going to be so happy up there that you do not want to go back. Okay? So it's all about us staying focused on Jesus and wanting to be with him. Someone reminded me on the phone today, Brother Elvie, this life is short, 50 years. And Sister Renee, if you want to call in and share your dream, that would be awesome. I know you left me a message, but we haven't heard you here on the Lord Tower, sister. If you want to call in, let me give you the number to call in. If you're able to, amen. There you go. Give us a thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let me, amen. Okay, yes, we have time. We have time, sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. What an awesome God we serve. Sister Renee can call in. And then go ahead, Sister Erica, share what she's calling in.
Okay. I had other dreams of meteors and asteroids falling from the sky. I was actually running with a group of people, and I was worried about my kids because they were not with me. And that was years ago that I had that dream. And also I had two dreams of destruction in New York City. I saw water rising up to the waist of the Statue of Liberty. And I was actually in one of the ferries watching. But I wasn't drowning or anything like that, but I was actually there watching it. I guess I was there in spirit. And also, I saw a group of people in this another dream, a group of people standing in front of me, but they had their backs to me. And it seemed like they were naked, but all I could see was from the waist up on their backs. And they were facing water, clear water. And on their backs, I can see out of their skin was seeping blood. And it was rusty color, dirty blood. And I walked up to one of them, and I had this white cloth in my hand, and I started to wipe on the back of one of the ladies. And I think it was one of my family members. I'm not sure, but I don't know what that means.
Amen. Amen. What did you saw them do, sister?
They were just facing, they weren't doing anything but facing water. Like, it was like still water, and it was really clear and beautiful. And they all looked naked, but I couldn't see anything but from the waist up. And I saw, like, it looked like blood seeping out of their skin. And I went up to wipe it, to clean one of them. And it was a white cloth that I had. And then after I wiped, I looked at the cloth, and it looked like dirty blood, like rusty colors.
Wow, okay. Yeah, there's a time coming on the earth when people will find themselves going through that. So it might be also God wants you to, you know, keep praying for your family and share as much as you can His word.
Yeah.
Alert them that everything is so close for the Lord to come.
Yeah, I think, you know, it also means like that one of them has sin that they need to repent of, like, because their blood
yes.
was dirty. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what it means, that they need to repent and come to the knowledge of the Lord and serve the Lord. That's
mm-hmm.
the calling He has in humanity now, to get ready to repent, you know, because time is so short now. You know, that dream reminded me of how close we are for the Lord to come, because He said He will come. And the dream coming from God, that's what's amazing, that is coming from God. God is
yeah.
the one giving the warning, that He knows the day and hour for sure. Was that the last dream you wanted to share, sister?
Yes, for now.
Okay, let Sister Renee come on and share everything that she had gone through in the last week. You know,
okay.
it's just been so much for her, but I'm glad she had gone through it with the help of the Lord. Shalom, Sister Renee.
Shalom, Brother Elvie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Welcome.
Thank you. I've gone through a lot with my dad. My dad he had a heart condition, and his heart was barely functioning the past year and a half. It's been like 26%. So he got the flu, and it caused him to have heart issues again. And then he was doing well after that, I mean, except for his heart not working too well. And then he got the flu a second time, which we don't know if it was COVID or the flu, because he didn't want to go to the hospital and get it checked. So they put him on an antibiotic, and he was feeling so much better. I mean, he was doing great. You know, everybody called in, see how he's doing. He said, you know, he was feeling better. The antibiotic was working. He's eating again. And so the day of his death, he was feeling good. He got up and had a big breakfast, and he sat down and for dinner, and he watched his cowboy movie, Western. He had his favorite meal. They said he went, my stepmother said he went into the latrine, and she said she heard the toilet flush, and then she heard thump, and she ran in there, and he was on the floor, and his heart was not beating. She worked on him for 20 minutes till the ambulance got there, and they couldn't revive him. He was just gone that quick. They said that he was gone before he hit the ground. That when he hit flushed the toilet, he was like gone. His heart just stopped. So we all got a phone call, and I tried calling you, Brother Elvy, to pray with me because I thought, you know, if we prayed together, that his heart would start again and that he wouldn't die. But that, you know, a few minutes later, they told me that he was gone. He wasn't going to be able to be revived because he was already dead all that time before the paramedics got there, because she couldn't get his heart to start pumping again or him to breathe. So, so it was really a hard time with the, you know, the funeral. You know, each of my brothers got up and spoke about my dad, you know, all the memories, and, you know, it was a lot of crying, a lot of laughter, of the good moments. And so it was really, really hard. My dad was 82. My mother died when I was 25. I'm 59 now, so I lost my mom early. She was 44, so all we had was my dad all these years, and he meant the world to us. And I prayed to the Lord before my dad. I knew my dad's heart wasn't working too good, and I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, Brother Elvy said that you're going to be taking some people home that wouldn't make the rapture, that might be left in the trib if they don't go in the rapture. I said, you know where my dad stands. I've been standing in the gap for my dad. I pray for my dad all the time. And if you feel that he would not make the rapture, then I pray that you would take him now. So he's with you and he's at peace. And it was like a couple days later, you know, he died. So I felt like God took him home early because he wouldn't have made the rapture.
God answered your prayer then.
Yes, he did. And after the funeral, a couple days later, I had a dream. I dreamt that I seen my dad, and he was like so young. He looked like, I seen picture of my dad when he was in his 20s, and he looked like he was in his 20s. And I was hugging him, and he was just glowing. He just looked so radiant and just happy and at peace and the glow around him. And I'm hugging him. And then all of a sudden, I don't understand what this meant, this part, but he disappears, and then I'm hugging my brother, you know, my oldest brother. It was, you know, it's like he went home. Like, you know, like I hugged him. I seen that he's happy and at peace, and then he just was gone. And then I was hugging my brother instead. So I feel like, you know, he was letting me know that he is at peace and he is happy where he's at. And I was very, very happy that when you told me that you prayed to God about my dad, and God told you twice that he was with my dad when he passed and that he took him to heaven. Mm-hmm. And that gave me a lot of peace because sometimes you're not sure sometimes with a family member. I know my dad's been a Christian, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not 100% if they would make the rapture. You know, you watch them and you're like, you know, I hope he would make the rapture, but then I just felt like he might not have made the rapture because you have to be truly holy and repentant. And I know the past year before my dad died, he thought that you could be forgiven past, future, you know, the past, right now, and the future sins without repentance. And I talked to him many times about that, and I said, Dad, you have to repent. You have to cleanse every day. You need to purify yourself. You need to ask God to take his precious blood and cover your sins. Because I said, we sin. We can even sin in our dreams. You need to do this. So there's many times I told him this, and, you know, and I always prayed to God that, you know, he would listen to what I was trying to tell him and that he would make heaven. And, you know, so it really gave my heart a lot of peace when you told me what the Lord told you and I felt like what I told my dad did eventually sink in, and he made things right with the Lord.
He did. He received the word. When I was praying for him, and after hearing your message, like 3 days after, and I saw your message, and I heard your message, and I began to pray, and I was in prayer, and the Lord said to me, "Hey, I took him. He's with me, you know. He's with me," and repeat it twice, like okay. Because I was kind of got concerned. I said, "Well, now she needs us to be there for her." Now is, and I'm glad the Lord giving you that dream, because what that dream means is that he's in heaven, he's a young man now, and he is in a better place than you are in your family. So now your focus got to be helping your brothers, you know, helping your family. That's
right.
So that's
we have a lot of lost people.
Yes. Yes. And that's what God is saying to you. Now you are in a position to help your family, someone else now, because your father, he's secure now. He's in a lot better place than all of us. Now it's about helping your other family that need to know what he knew, because you were able to speak to your father. He listened. He received the word, and the Lord is so faithful, he took him home. That's how good the Lord is, you know. And now your other family, they need to come to heaven too. They need to get – go ahead.
Right, because my youngest brother, his name's Jason, and many times I've asked my youngest brother, because he's not saved, and I've, you know, from time to time I'll say, "Have you come to the Lord? Have you, you know, received salvation?" And he'll say no. So when the day of my dad's funeral, after it was all done and we went to my sister's house, I asked my brother, I told my brother, "Now, you know, Dad's a Christian and Dad's in heaven. The only way, you know, you're ever going to see Dad again is if you give your life to Jesus and you get saved, you know?" And he's like, "Yeah, I realize that." Okay. So sometimes death can also help others to be saved in some way. Because he loves my father dearly, and he, you know, and he's so upset about the separation. And I'm like, "Well, you won't be separated forever if you get saved and you come to know Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, then you'll see Dad again. But if you don't, you'll never see Dad again." He's coming to realize that.
You know, when the Lord spoke to me about your father, he spoke to me like, "Why are you surprised? Why? Because you were like, 'Oh, man, I lost my dad. You know, he's like my best friend, the closest one that you've been so close to for so many years.' But again, you know, you asked the Lord to take him home. The Lord heard your prayer and took him home. And he's in a better place. He's a young man right now, you know. And now God wants to use you and your family, sister. So we need to pray for your family. That's what we need to do here on the Lord's Hour. Everyone listening, we need to pray for your family that they will come. And nothing is impossible with God. God can bring them. We have prayed for many families, and the Lord has been faithful to bring them to him, my brother and sister, to his knowledge, because it's about them coming to the knowledge of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is their Savior. And if they receive him in their heart and give their life to him, the Lord can save them, bring them home. You know, especially when the Lord is going to take his people. And we know that's coming soon. But those that are staying behind in the Great Tribulation, they can still be safe. They can still be safe. The Lord is not abandoning nobody. A lot of people think because they're going to stay in the Great Tribulation, they're being abandoned. No, they're not. God has a plan for everybody who stay behind. But the door is open now for people to come to the Lord, because he can still rapture people. He can still save people. He's not rejecting anybody, you know. So So you
right.
had you had another dream before, Sister Renee?
A dream about what?
I said, do you had another dream before this, the dream with your father?
No, not about, I don't recall, one about my dad. I'm trying to think, if it was somebody else or if it was my dad. I don't think, I think this was the only dream since my dad has passed, that I've had. I know, since my dad's passed, you know, like my brother, something's really strange happened. It's like the Lord, almost like different ones are having different things happen. Like my other brother, he said that he's, you know, had some things happening where, okay, my grandfather, his name is Bill Robertson. He was wrote music many, many years ago when he was alive. He wrote some music, which, you know, it's never played on the radio hardly ever because it's so old. Right after the funeral, my brother was listening to the oldies station, and it said, here is a song that was written from a man that lived in Baltimore, Maryland, named Bill Robertson, which was so weird that he just happened to be listening to the radio and hear my grandfather's name about a record that he produced, back in the, 40s or 50s. So I felt like he was being shown that, you know, dad was in heaven with my grandfather. That's how he took that when that had happened. They were finding like feathers, you know, like at different places in the house. I took that as maybe angels. I don't know. It's just some weird things were just happening. I just feel like, we were meant to feel peace when my dad went because, you know, a lot of us are like my sister, my brothers were taking this really, really hard. And different things like that are making them feel better. Like almost like they're being shown that dad's in heaven with my grandfather, you know, and my brother's wife that died of cancer, with the feather thing because it was next to his wife that died, her ring, you know, her wedding ring. So it was like almost like they were being shown that, you know, dad's in heaven with, you know, different people that made it to heaven.
Amen.
So, you know, it gave them peace, you know. So, but, you know, everybody's dealing now, you know. It's going to take a while for the grief period. But I feel at peace because I know my father's in heaven, and I know that we're only going to be separated for a short time till the rapture happens. So, you know, it's like he's taking a trip for a while, you know, but I will see him again. So,
amen.
You know, it's not
that's
forever.
It. That's, yes, not forever. And well, you'll be with him forever once you meet him again. And that's
excited.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I believe you were able to join us on the healing survey last time, no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I've been doing a little bit better. I think sometimes the devil wants you to think that, you know, you're not really healed. You got to keep telling yourself no matter what you're feeling, you know, you just have to have the faith and, you know, mm-hmm. And the Lord's with me. And, you know, the devil is just trying to do everything he can against me because I have, you know, been put on this earth to deal with different family members that have passed. Before they passed, I told them about the Lord and salvation. You know, so that's what I've been doing with each person before they have passed. You know, and it just seems like that's what I'm here to do. That's what the Lord put me here to do, is to help different ones find their way to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing, you know. And I have my husband. He doesn't know the Lord, you know. So I've been with him 20 years, so I keep praying for him. And, you know, I know one day, you know, he'll be saved, you know, whether it's the tribulation or now, I don't know. But I keep praying for all my lost, and I know, and I'm going to keep the trust and faith and know that he is going to save them, you know, because we have to have that faith. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like David, you're going to have to encourage yourself many times. You know,
right.
You're going to have to speak to yourself when you feel down. I trust in the Lord. The Lord is my helper. And you're going to have to quote the Bible to yourself. If you read Psalm 41 to 43, you see David going through his own struggle. David finding himself in being chased by Saul in the different places which his enemy were around him. And he has to encourage his own soul because he didn't have nobody else. And a lot of time we find ourselves in the same situation. Who encouraged David? Who encouraged Job? Who encouraged Jacob on his way to his father-in-law the long way? You know, Moses in the wilderness. Who encouraged him? Nobody. You have to encourage yourself. You have to think that God is going to help you. He's going to save you. He's going to deliver you. So that's you going through the wilderness in your own walk with God. And you encourage yourself with the word of God. And that's how your faith grows in the Lord. You want your faith to grow a lot of time. That's how it's going to. You're going to find the root of your faith and the word of God. And so as you're confessing the word, thinking about the word, meditating on the word, speaking the word, the root of your faith is found in Jesus. And when it's found in him, it becomes strong. It becomes solid. Once you go through it later on, no matter what comes against it, you are in solid ground with the Lord. And so that's what makes us, it feels like it's going to break us. It does feel like it's going to break us, but we come out stronger through the headache, through the trouble, through the worst situation. My brother and sister, because the Lord is with us. That's why, and he's going to give us victory, my brother and sister. There's so many in heaven that have gone to heaven. There's so many
sometimes,
that...
Sometimes, brother...
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Because sometimes, brother Elvie, you know, we can pray for somebody for, like I said, years and years and years and years, and we don't see nothing happening, and we can get down and... You know, be like, you know, the devil wants us to believe, oh, they're not going to get saved. Because, look, you know, you've been praying about this person for so many years and they're still not saved. It just ain't going to happen, you know. They're just not going to get saved, you know. But you have to come against the devil and say, hey, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to keep praying because I know they're going to get saved. You know, that's where faith comes in.
Amen.
So we just can't Amen. Give up.
No, you got to ask the Lord to increase your faith. A lot of time, it's our faith needs to be increased, and the Lord is the only one. The apostle doubted everything that they were going through with the Lord. But when they learned, when Jesus gave them the example of the mustard seed, when you read Luke 17, the apostle prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Because they find out in all those 3 years that what they're lacking is faith. You can go through a lot, but if you don't learn to go to the Lord to increase your faith, you find yourself stuck. You're like, nothing is happening with my life or my family because the Lord wants us to depend on him, going to him. Remember when the Lord said to me, why didn't you ask me for help, the Lord says. And I'm struggling with this situation that I cannot find a way out of it. And the Lord says, why didn't you ask me for help? When he spoke that to me, that open to me a new understanding that we have to be depending on Jesus. For everything we go through, we need to depend on him. Amen. It's right. So important. Yes. So Sister Renee, thank you for coming on tonight. and sharing. I want Sister Erica to continue to share her dream. We will have you at another time, Sister Renee. Amen.
Okay. All right. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Erica.
Amen.
Okay. I have, I had another dream not too long ago that I was, like, in a protected house, but in the city, it was a violent city where we were at. There was no fence around it. The driveway had two cars, which it had food in the trunks, of the car, and it was cold. It was really cold out. So the food was not getting spoiled. And we were putting food in these carts, like shopping carts. And I remember we were taking food to help people. And we were just walking down the street, pushing the carts. And we weren't worried about what was going on around us. I guess we just had faith that we were protected, you know, trying to help people. The Lord was wanting to help people through us.
Was that like in the future, revelation of the future, or you? What do you felt? There was something you're going through?
No, I think it was. I don't think it's anything that I'm going through, but I'm thinking that that's how it's going to be. And when there's no food and, you know, when there's the famine, maybe in the Great Tribulation, when people need help getting food, since people aren't going to be able to buy, you know, or sell without the mark of the beast.
Okay, yes. Sounds like it is. Although we are going to have a hard day ahead of us. And they are part in the earth now that people have no food. But if you saw it here, that must be probably part of the Great Tribulation of the things to come. And if Biden wins the election, which I don't think so, that will come pretty quickly. We need to continue to pray for Donald Trump. My brother and sister, I remember when the Lord spoke that to me last year for us to pray for Donald Trump, or the year before last year. Mm-hmm. Very important we keep them in prayer, because you don't want Biden in the White House. We saw what they did for 8 years. They took away everything the country had and gave it away to the Iranians, to the enemies. You don't want that, because they'll do that again and even worse. You want someone like Donald Trump who's through this coronavirus is sending everyone a check, supporting the families through the worst time ever, my brother and sister of this nation. You do not want Biden, because he will not send people a check, first of all. He will take away whatever people have left, okay? They will quickly try to file for bankruptcy and say that the economy has been a lie of the former presidency, and take away everything that people have. And because they've been wanting to tap on Social Security for how many years now? They wanted to take it away from people back when Clinton was in office. They've been wanting to do this for many years. And
they
have not been
that
possible.
It wasn't going to last.
Yes, and if Biden wins, let's say, God forbid, that never happens, he'll tap into the Social Security and, you know, I have the army police the street of the United States, as they did in Baghdad, in the Iraq war, my brother and sister. They had the army police the street of Baghdad. They'll do it now again. That's what they think Trump should be doing, having the army police the street of the United States everywhere, and put roadblock and declare martial law in all the states. Give people a curfew, 6 o'clock, everybody needs to be home. And people can only go out to buy something, shopping. But then they'll take away the jobs and don't give people food stamps and all that, you know, and have people dying at home of hunger without any care for anyone. The enemy don't care for anyone. And I don't know when people are going to realize that. The enemy of this nation don't care. The elite don't care. And Obama and all these people are with the elite. They don't. Go ahead, sister.
They've been planning it for years.
Yes. Yes. They want to do it. They want to take away what is left of the nation and leave it broke. And then tell people, no, we've been broke since Donald Trump went into office. Since before that, since Obama back in 2008 when the economy fell. And say, no, the nation's been broke, and take away whatever's left and then have people go hungry everywhere. Like the Lord showed me, riots everywhere. They don't have to be that way now if we pray for Donald Trump. People need to be awakened in this nation. Pastor, leaders, they need to be awakened to the hour and pray for Donald Trump for another 4 years. God will put someone else after him, if whoever stay behind. But at least 4 more years of him in office will secure that people will have jobs and people will have something to eat. If not, whatever's left, they're going to take away. My brother and sister, Obama gave trillions of dollars to Iran. And even when proof was shown, he denied it. He just denied it. They don't care. They don't care for the people. They never have and they never will. Their root is evil. The root of them is evil. Someone had a dream this week and saw Biden. And it was not Biden. It was Biden, but it was not Biden. It was like a principality, the person was seeing. In the natural, he will see the person Biden. In the spiritual, it was a demon. And the person, this is the dream that God gave someone this week, a sister. And she said to me, I saw Biden. I saw a demon, like a principality. And it was him for who he is as a demon in the spirit. But in the natural, it was Biden. This demon, she said, is bad. The demon she was looking at, it's like one of the devil leaders or commander-in-chief of someone in high office. And she can look at him in the spiritual realm, and then look at him in the natural. And like what people see is not what it is. She was thinking in the dream. God was letting
like
her know what
angel.
People see. Yes, yes, like a fallen angel. She said, what people see in the natural of this man, it is not who he is, truly who he is. Because you see a person in the flesh, but if you see him in the spirit, it's a demon, fallen demon. You know, it's a Satan, it's one of Satan's fallen demons. One that fell in the beginning with Satan. He's bad. He's bad. And, you know, and it's, she said it was shocking because she said she wanted to know. She wanted God to reveal this to her so she can share this. She said it's stunning. She said people are so blind by him. They cannot see who he really is. He is not a human. He's not a human. He is a fallen demon, she says to me. Like, wow, that's stunning. The way she says it is stunning. It's real. This is no. She wanted God. She said, God, please show me. Because I mentioned to her many times of the things he had done, he has said. And none of the things he has done and said make any sense. He doesn't have an opinion. He reads the paper. If you ask him about his life, he reads. Someone has to write something for him to speak. People notice he has made many mistakes. If you really, when the devil is coming against someone and is speaking to someone, if you pay close attention, you find his mistake. Okay. Yeah, someone say, well, a rebellion. You know, he's not what people think it is. And if people vote for him, They're voting for a fallen one. Fallen one. My brother and sister. You can ask God if Donald Trump is of him. He'll tell you that he is. That's why they hate him. They want to see him dead. They hate him. The Democrats hate Donald Trump. That's the word. They hate him. Why? Because he's not like the one they have. They have demons and principality in their party leading them. And that's what they want. They don't want human. They don't want people that God can use and God can choose and use. They don't want that. That's the last thing they want. Because if God has someone in office, the people, if you read in Proverbs, if the righteous, when the nation is led by the righteous, many righteous comes out of that. Many more fearful people of God will come out of him, Donald Trump. Biden, more wicked people will come out into office because of him. Because Obama was in office, many other came to office that were not supposed to be in office. And then the misleading, the lie begins. All they say is lie, my brothers and sisters. They lie. They lie. And, you know, it's not... had nothing to do with races, because I'm Spanish, but I'm also black. Okay? Mean to say is that it's not about race. It's about who is of God and who is not of God. That is what it's all about. We are serving God, servant of God. We serve Jesus, and we want to serve him. You don't want to be under no devil, no demon, no fallen one. Because they lie. They're after killing, stealing, and destroy. John 10:10. That's what it's all about. And we have to be careful. And then Galatians 9 is about dreams. Any other dreams, Sister Erica?
Yes, actually, I have one from Friday. It was another quick one, but there was a lot of injured people everywhere, and I was in a group of nurses. I was a nurse taking care of the injured people. And the one I had last night was, I was praying for a police officer. Like, I was actually, like, laying hands on him and praying for him. I remember saying, Lord, this is your servant. Protect him, you know. I was just praying for him, and that was it for that dream.
Amen. That means we have to be praying for people. So we have to be there. People he's gonna put in your path, in your way, for you to pray for. And you know, the God is giving. A gift of healing. What was the last gift God giving you, Sister Erica, that you asked for?
It was healing, discernment, and prophecy, and faith.
There you go. Okay, so now those gifts, you got to use them for the glory of the Lord. You know, you have to now pray that God will use you in your gifts in other people's life. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, it's for the edification of the body of the Christ, the church, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
A lot of people have gifts from the Lord, a healing, miracle, and so much other. They don't use it. I'm afraid. I'm so shy. No, I don't dare. And they put up any excuse not to use it for the glory of God. No, pray to be bold. Pray for boldness in the Lord.
That's my prayer. To be bold.
Yeah, pray for bold. That's it. That, you know, you walk up to someone and say, "May I pray for you?" You know, and minister to someone, no matter who it is. And my brother and sister, God will use you anywhere. You will pray. You can pray for people anywhere. I pray for people in the bus, in the street, anywhere. It don't matter. You know, God gives you the chance to minister to someone. You open your mouth. He'll give you the word. You don't have to think what to say. Because in the moment, when you're doing it by faith, and the moment you need the word, he gives it to you. And you'll speak the word.
So
and don't think the word is not enough. The word he's giving you at that very moment is enough for that person. Don't think that you're going to have to read a whole encyclopedia and a whole manual. You're gonna have to, no, to speak, no. One word, God, yes, one word he gives you is enough to change that person's life completely. One word, because one word, God can make it 1,000 words. He can make one word out of you, 1,000 words in that person's life, in that person's mind. That you will say one thing, and that person can hear 1,000 things out of that word you just spoken. God can do that. I find myself, when the Lord told me to begin the Lord's Hour, I remember that there were things that the Lord was leading me to say, and I say them, and I say, well, I don't think my English is that good for me to be on the air on the radio. And then when I went back and listened to the audio a few weeks after, to me it was clear. And people will say it's clear, and I keep asking people, Brother Larry, is a teacher up in New Hampshire, and she her English is so good because she learns the book, she knows the book, she teaches the books, and I keep asking her, so, Sister Barbara, how is my English? Is it good enough? Can people understand me? I understand you perfectly, Brother Elvie. Your English is fine, yeah. She'll say to me. And I said, I don't feel like it is. I said, Brother, you don't need to worry. The Lord is the one giving you the word. He is the one. And I will pray, Lord, may my English good enough for people to hear the message and understand what I'm saying. Because I'm not sure, Lord, if it's good enough. But I need you, Lord, to make it clear. And the Lord did so. The Lord did so. This word I said that I didn't even know what I said. And when I went back and listened to it later on, it sounds like so clear, it makes sense, and people coming to the Lord, people repenting, and he's doing so much, and then like the Lord was doing so. Believe me, my English was not so good. It was not, and Sister Carla knows exactly what I mean. We come from Spanish country. Where I come from, not everyone speaks English. It's very little people. Okay, and I didn't study English in school neither. It was just Spanish. It was all Spanish, and that's all I knew. And coming here, and the Lord telling me that he's making me a preacher, a minister, that I'm going to come and speak his word, and he spoke his word when I was, 11, 12, and it was like, okay, Spanish. He's sending me to an English nation where barely no one in America knows Spanish, and he's sending me here to speak message in English when I don't know no English. Okay. You just got to trust God. Got to trust God. And so he did so. He, you know, when I began grammar school to go to high school in New Jersey, I began to watch television. And watching the program that I was watching, more cartoons and stuff like that, I learned English like in 3 months. Not in school. I watched, just watching television. And it was the Lord that downloaded to me the language in my head. Because I remember speaking English to one of my friends. I was like, didn't you just come from the Dominican Republic and you said you didn't know no English? Why are you speaking English and asking questions in English? And I said, wow, that is so true. Where do I know English from? Because it's just been downloaded into my head and now I'm speaking English. It's just incredible. And it's been the Lord. It's just been the Lord. It's just, you know, and then I became friends with Portuguese people and just spending time with them, Pastor John and people like him from Brazil, I learned Portuguese, and I'm speaking fluently in Portuguese, and they're like, didn't you just a few months ago, you know, met Pastor John, and how are you speaking Portuguese? And I'm like, well, the Lord just downloads the language into your head, into your heart, and when you love people, when you love people, he will give you the language. Because Pastor John said to me one time, Brother Elvie, I got one question for you. Let's see if you can answer me. I said, okay, Pastor John. He says, what is the language of heaven? He says. I said, language of heaven? And I kept thinking, well, Hebrew, is the language of the Jewish people. And he says to me, the language of heaven is love. Okay? Love. As long as you love people, you will communicate with them. He says to me, wow. To me, that was the most powerful thing I ever heard in my life. Love. He says, what did Jesus say? Love one another. He didn't tell the disciples, oh, you're going to have to learn a new language, speak new language with people and all that. Yeah, speaking in tongues and speaking new language. And he put his spirit later on. But it was not a common teaching of Jesus. He said, love one another. That's the language that connects you and I, love. My brother insisted that whether we will speak our language or not, as long as we love one another, that's the connection that we will have as a body in the body of Christ, my brother and sister. The connection is love. And so we need to love one another with the love of the Lord that he has for us. You know, that you may love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. He was an example of love to his disciples. He was there for them, my brother and sister. And then he said, love one another as I love you. That's how we are to live as Christians. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it sounds fresh. It sounds funny. But with the Lord, with God's help, it's possible. Okay? You know, down here we struggle with everything. Everything is against us. But as long as we ask the Lord to help us, with God, Jesus told his disciples, all things are possible. We just need to believe him. Believe him. Walk by faith. As the Lord says to me, people ask for things they want, for the things they want. They ask for the things they want, but not for the things they need. Boy, when he said that to me, that was a nice eye-opening, like, Lord, wow, that is so true. How many of us focus on what we want every day? And when we are in prayer, we mostly pray for what we want. Unless you're praying for soul to be saved, okay? But mostly I'm talking about personal desire, okay? When you have spiritual need, your spiritual man, your spiritual woman needs of God, things that God will give you, like armor, like anointing, like power, like fire, like gifts of the Spirit, and so much more. God will give you those things if you ask for. And do you need them in the last day? Of course you do. How come you're not focused on those things? Because you're focused on, I need a better car, I need a better house, and things that you need. Okay, oh, my bank account is not doing so good. If I have a better job, or if the Lord provide this and that, I will have more, things like that. A lot of time we focus too much on the bills. And they're there, and we need to pay them for sure. But we need to focus more on the Lord, my brother and sister. Bills, we are always going to have them as long as we are on this earth, my brother and sister. But the Lord, hallelujah, we need to seek him. We need to seek him every day and want to have a closer relationship with him. You know that a lot of us, you can be walking with the Lord every day, talking with through your life. Happens to Brother Richard that he can even see the Lord every day. He can see the Lord every day. You know, you can be closer with the Lord if you choose to pray and spend more time with him. But a lot of time, what do people choose to do? Oh, they got this new series on television. I don't want to miss that. And sometimes it's 2 and 3 hours show, and you don't want to miss it. You want to be there. If you give the Lord 3 hours every day, you know how closely you'll come to him in your relationship? I shared this many years ago on the Lord's Hour, and this sister that was listening to me said, man, you're right. You know, God had me at home. I got what I need at home. My husband, her husband works, and he makes good money. because she was just with the kid at home, and then she would put the kid to school and on the bus to school every day. And so she had all those hours while they were in school to pray, read her Bible, and she was not doing so. She was watching television. And when she heard me say this, she said, wow, it made so much sense for Lily. And she started spending hours with the Lord in prayer and in the Word and praying and reading the Bible. She came so close with the Lord in her relationship that she wrote to me and told me everything that I'm telling you tonight. She said, Beloved, you are so right. We can build so much and so close to the Lord in our relationship with Him. But we choose to do all these other things, watch television, watch this, watch that, than spending time with Him. She says, I'm learning so much from Him now, things that I didn't even think it was possible to learn. He's teaching me in prayer and in His Word, you know, in fasting. She says, you know, you just think that that's the job for the minister. Let the minister do it. No, it's for everyone. The children of Israel can tell him, Moses, you speak for us, Moses. You speak for us, Moses. No. God wants to speak to you as He speaks to me and anybody else. He wants to speak to your life. But you are not willing to listen to Him. Because you're not willing to come close to Him, then you're missing the relationship that you can have with Him. What do you think heaven is about? You think heaven is a boring place where all you do is pray on your knees all day long? And heaven is not like that. In heaven, you can do so much and still be speaking with the Lord. You can go out fishing in a boat. You can go out and do so much and still talking to the Lord all day long. And no one can take away from you spending time with God while you could be doing anything else, even playing with children. Children in heaven playing, God can be teaching them as they play with no problem. They spend time playing, and God Father speaking to them, teaching them, and they grow up in God learning about God so much, and they become so close to God, to Him in a special way. God wants to do the same to you, and you will be shocked how much you will learn if you decide that you want to have that relationship with Jesus. He always wants to have a relationship with you, but He's waiting for you to make the choice. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Okay? You think you decide to speak to Him? Not more than Him. He wants to speak to you. I remember the other day when He says to me a few weeks back, my children think that I'm hiding myself from them. Why do they think such a thing? I'm not hiding myself from them, He says to me. I want to show myself to them, says the sister. And you should have seen him standing right in front of me telling me these things. Why do they think this way? I'm not hiding myself from them, he says. Okay? If you seek him, he says, seek and thou shalt find. You seek him, you're going to find him. You are going to find him. And you're going to love that you have found him. But there's always a struggle. It's always a struggle with the flesh and the spirit. It's in the Word of God. Because we struggle, even not in flesh, not against flesh or blood, my brother and sister. The wickedness, Satan and his demons are trying to block you or trying to delay you from having a relationship with the Lord. They cannot stop you, but they can mislead you. They can delay you. Like Daniel, when you're praying for your petition, the devil sends his demon to delay the angel that are bringing your blessing. They cannot stop the angel, but they can delay it. What happened while they're delaying your prayer petition? You get frustrated, and you quit on God. Oh, I'm not going to keep waiting. I'm tired of waiting. This is set for me. If by tomorrow God doesn't answer me, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm going on my own. I'm doing my own thing. This is it for me. That's the attitude that a lot of people have. That's not shabiso, because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Okay, it's about him. When you see him and you talk to him and he talks back to you, you're going to find out that you should have done this years ago. When you see the Lord, when you see him face to face and he talks to you, when you meet him, you say, Lord, how much that I wanted to see you. When he reveals to you that you could have been there years ago in your life, you're going to be like, oh, man. But I didn't do this. I didn't pray. I was not in the Word. I was not confessing my sin. I was not then you begin to understand, like, wow, you know, he never stopped me from coming to him. It was my own flesh. It was the devil. It was this world. It was the things around me. Instead of praying, I chose to watch television. I chose to do this, go to the park, go to the mall, do this, do that. Things that takes you from having a time with God. And it doesn't mean that you don't need a vacation, you don't need rest, you don't need to relax. Of course you need all that. Of course you need to rest. Your body needs rest. But spending time with the Lord has to be first. Sister Erica, any other dream? Thank you, Lord.
No, but I just wanted to add what you were saying about the sister and spending time with the Lord. During the lockdown, I was able to get a lot, you know, really close to the Lord. And the more that you read the Bible and seek Him, and the more you seek Him, it's like the more the desire you get to get closer and closer. And one of my main, you know, desires is to hear Him and see Him. But I haven't yet, but I know that He's here with me all the time, because I see Him working in my life in different areas. And it's like, Lord, You're so awesome. You're so good. And even though I can't see You, I know You're here. I know You're working on my behalf. And people think that I live a boring life. I have heard that, you know, people tell me, no, but you don't do anything. It's like, I don't want to do anything. You don't understand, like, this peace that I've been searching for all my life, and I finally have it. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the old me. And I wish that I can, you know, reach more people, you know, that way. And just, it's hard to put into words the feeling, the peace, the love that I feel. And I just want, I want everyone to know, I want everyone to feel it. You know, if they can only give Him a chance, He would do so many great things in their lives, and it would be so evident to them. Like you said, like, why didn't I do this before? You know, and He's just so awesome, what He's showing me, what I'm learning every day. I'm just so happy, and, you know, I'm so happy that He's teaching me, and everything that's in the Word, like, everything, just like you said in the Word, there's nothing new under the sun, and you can read the part in the Bible and go forward, or, you know, put it together with what's going on in your life or what's going on today in this world, and He's just so amazing. He has so much planned for us, and we just have to seek Him and find Him, because He's there.
Amen. Yes, it is so true. It is so true that His plan for us is greater than anything we ever known in our own life. My brother and sister, you know, I remember being so shy and never wanting to speak out or speak in front of people. And God put me in that place. Every time He sent me out to do ministry, put me in the place to speak in front of multitude. But always I remember Him being faithful to me, because I talked about healing. And I remember the church in Connecticut had a special service, and, you know, they rented this place and invited all these people, and a beautiful place they rented, and I was a speaker, and I asked the Lord to come with me. And the Lord, I fasted that week before I went and prayed, and the Lord says, I will go with you. And in the car, that when I was driving there, the Lord let me know I'm next to you. And I can feel Him, His presence, very strong. And He was going all the way with me, 2.5 hours from my house. And I tell you, that whole weekend was set by Him for me to be in Connecticut. And and see the power of God, and God delivers so many people and baptized people in his power and tongue. And that was the amazing thing that the pastor that invited me, I had him on the low tower, remember, my brother and sister, he says, I know we're going to have a special service, but Lord, I'll have people pray and fast and, you know, the youth to be ready for this. And the outcome that came out of that was this young girl that got baptized after being delivered, being baptized in tongues, and then her evangelizing her friend and bringing them to the church. You know, the outcome, the anointing, the revival, it was a small revival the Lord brought to the church that day. Something they didn't expect. God came moving, the power of God came moving in their life. Jesus was there, my brother and sister. The thing is that when I walk into the building, Jesus was with me. The pastor had received me. And I asked the pastor, can I have a room while they're doing the worship where I can be talking with the Lord? I need to spend, you know, half an hour now with the Lord before the service. I said, how much time you have more before the service? He says, well, maybe an hour of worship. I said, I want to have it with the Lord. He said, well, you can come to my office if you want, but you can join the service however you want. Well, I would like to have the time if you don't mind. It don't need to be your office. It can be any place. No one can come to the office. That place, he took a room for his office because they were renting the place. So when I walk into the building, the presence of the Lord walk into the building. When I came out of the room, when they called me to come and preach to the pulpit, the presence of the Lord came very strong. People confessed feeling the Lord, a presence so strong that they never felt before. And that to me was like, and then the Lord set a cloud above me, a cloud that it was amazing. I had a brother recording, and he didn't do a good job because the presence was so strong. He just wanted to enjoy the presence of the Lord and worship God, and because he never felt anything like this, you know. But, you know, I as much as I wanted to be in that cloud of anointing and presence of God, of Jesus, this, to me, that was a new display of the Lord. I knew that what was important there is people being led to receive Jesus, being saved. Salvation was more important than the miracle he was about to do and the deliverance and all that. What happened when the Lord, when we began the deliverance, I raised my hand and asked the Lord to come very strong on the people, and most everyone fell on the floor under the power of God. And this was not like something people were expecting, because the presence of God was very strong. But when the Lord came down on people, they felt on the floor, and people and demonic began to manifest. My brother and sister, young people, older people, and demonic, kicking sheer and everything around, demonically possessed. You know, and some people ran out of the room when that happened. And I said, don't fear. We just got to cast the demon out of those that are demon-bound. Began to rebuke the demon out of people. And after they were set free, there was a young lady. She had like legion inside of this young girl, because she was sleeping in the street by selling herself for money and doing all kinds of things in prostitution. And so young, around 19 the most. And the demon was very, her eyes, demon was turning their eyes very ugly. Something out of Hollywood. And I noticed people were being afraid. They could not control her. And so I said, just let her go. No, don't you see what? No, let her go. Don't worry about it. And I took authority over those principalities, those legions. And they began to leave her body. Boom, 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 leave her body. Commanded them to go. She dropped to the floor like dead, because she had those demons in her for so long. And then I asked the Lord to fill her with her presence, just fill her with her spirit in a special way. You should have seen this young girl, how she got up and the power of the Lord began to dance and move. And like fire came out of her mouth, speaking in tongues, my brother and sister. And people were like, wow, we've never seen anything like this. Praise the Lord. And I said, just praise God. This is not about me. It's about the Lord. This is about him. This is about him. Praise him. Praise him, because he'll do it to your own life. Then other people began to speak in tongues as they began to praise him. And because the Lord was there. He was there. I was just being used by him. My brother and sister, you submit to God, and God will use you. If you don't submit to him, he won't use you. If you resist him, he won't use you. But if you submit and you say, you use me, Lord, let thy will be done, he will use you. All he's looking is for a willing vessel that not everyone is willing. Because if you're willing to pray, you're willing. If you're willing to fast, you're willing. If you're willing to do his will, you are a willing vessel. Okay? That's all he needs. Okay? A lot of people think he needs this. No. All he needs is a willing vessel. And that's all he wants us to be. Praise the Lord. You know the responsibility I had, him giving me that word yesterday to come on the radio and tell people that word, the plan of Father for humanity. My brother and sister, I put off other things just to give out this word. Other things in my life, I put it off just for this. Because in the moment he let me know this is important to him, I drop anything that I'm going to do or plan to do, and boom, I'll do this. My brother and sister, I focus on what he wants first. He is first in my life. If I need to drop anything to do his will, I'll do it. Okay? It's in a lot of people cannot do this. They got to do their own things first before they can say to God, okay, God, I'll do what you want, but then they're leaving God last.